music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Yeah. Sports and music. Yep, it's going hand in hand.
Yeah, we talking sports and music. Yep, they going hand in hand. Ballin' with my beats on. Gotta have that upper hand. Tying up my sneakers. Yeah, my ballers understand. And I hear them yelling from the stands. What they saying? Sports and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Yep, it's going hand in hand. Sports and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Gotta get it how we can. S&M all day. 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 S&M all day.
I hate it there. I can't speak.
Yeah, it's not like
it's straight on
because
then it'll
block. Ghetto. Come on. You do it every time and I hear it. So you can't do commercials or nothing?
Oh, we can do commercials. Yeah.
I got the logo. I know they probably hear it. It's probably here on the blog. So.
No.
Okay. But it's still going?
It's going, yeah. As soon as I put the mic up, it'll go.
All right, we good. Let's get going. What up, though, world? It's your boy, Mo Agar. We back once again, sports and music with me. And, you know, my dog, Yannick. You know, Trisha's not here a day to be available, you know. She's went off. She's doing her thing. But, you know, she'll be back next week. But, yeah, we over at the Roscoe's Media Center. Easy Way TV brought to you live. Shout out to Pitbull, man. I'm about to crack mine in a minute. Yeah, I just cracked it. Yum, yum. Yeah, we have a very special show today. It's going to be awesome, man. You know, I really, 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 really cherish this opportunity to be able to bring you this special person. But, you know, I need you to hold tight until, you know, I introduce him. But for the most part, I'm Maurice Agar, Mo Agar from Detroit, Michigan. And I'm out here, Los Angeles, California, working hard. Working hard, man. You know what I'm doing? I'm learning how to work smart, you know. Working hard to work smart, you know. So you know what that means? You know, I have to study. I have to read. I have to get my base knowledge from, you know, wherever I get it from, you know, whether it's the Bible, whether it's people, whether it's wise men, you know. But, you know, I just count on, you know, learning different things as many times, as much as I can, you know. But here we are, sports and music, man. Every week we're going to be talking about life, sports, music, entrepreneurship, movies, TV, anything that pertains to anything that's going on. So, you know, my name is Maurice Agar. You know, and I'm about to let my dog introduce himself. We back once again.
Yo, it's Johnny Beats. You know who it is. From anywhere you're from, USA, by way of New Mexico. Did music in New Mexico, moved to Arizona, did some music in Arizona with Amari Stoudemire. Moved from there, came to L.A., and I'm doing everything, man. Shoes, scripts. No movies, things like that. Anything that's to do with entertainment, I'm doing it, and I'm here.
That's absolutely correct. You know, we're two versatile and unique individuals. And one thing I would like to do, you know, we're on sports music. I have to promote myself. You know, Bull is great, but, you know, Smoketown, baby.
Woo!
So that's the album, man. That's the album cover, man.
Go cop
man.
That shirt.
Go cop the shirt on simpletea.com. That's simple-t.com, you know, and then type in Motown. Go in and get the T-shirts. But most importantly, go to the website and cop the album. It's Mo Agar, AGER.com. Make sure y'all go on the website, or you can go to iTunes, Spotify. So many different places you can grab it. And yeah, you
know, I mean, I don't know if people know. I know we said it last week, but I think something on the album was nominated.
You know what, man? You know what?
I didn't want to bring it up, but
you know what's cool? I'm up for a nomination. I'm up for a Grammy nomination for Far From Home. Song that, you know, that means a lot to us. You know, we're talking about being far from home.
Right.
Being out here in Los Angeles, California, chasing your dreams. Right. Or wherever you're from, you know. It's basically about taking that leap of faith and going out and, you know, and chasing after the things that you believe that are due to you. And that's the name of the song. It's called Far From Home. It's up for Best Rap Song Collaboration, 56th Annual Grammys this year. And we're on the ballots. And it feels good, you know. So the real work starts now. You know, we're going to have to start moving around and promoting the song and, you know, getting cool with the people on the Grammy boards, you know, so we can get those considerations. I can't say too much on what we need from those individuals, but that's as self-explanatory as I can get.
And you know what's crazy is that as far as with my crew, since I've been out here, we 2 for 2 every year. Last year, my homeboy won
Mike Jeff.
Mike Jeff, shout out to him, Michigan boy.
Michigan boy, what up?
Michigan boy, he won last year. Hey, I mean, Mo's going to win this year, and then next year I'll take it.
That's it. Hey, okay. But yeah, that's sports and music, man. Yeah. You know, it goes hand in hand. And I have another fun fact for you guys. I'm sitting here as one of the two only NBA basketball players to be considered for a Grammy. One, Shaquille O'Neal.
Shout out.
For I think he had something to do with Quincy Jones' collaboration song. It was a bunch of people on the song. I don't know what happened between that song. But, you know, Shaquille O'Neal. So shout out to Shaq for paving the way for us younger individuals coming up. But and then it's me. So, you know.
That's pretty good to be in that. Shaq, yo, low-key Shaq's joints was cool, bro. Especially
like
the one with Biggie Smalls.
Shaq had joints. Shaq has some joints,
but,
you know, ultimately, man, more on an important note, man, it just lets you know if you imagine, dream, you allow your brain to conceive something, if you believe it, you can conceive it. I think about winning a Grammy every single day. I think about it as much as I did when I was trying to get drafted to the NBA. So I really believed it, and I imagined it into my life, and it's really happened. And I'm thankful to God that I've had the opportunity to be able to be considered for something such as great as a Grammy consideration. You know, to be nominated is one thing, and to win is another. But, you know, at this point right now, nobody's nominated. We're all considered for the 56th annual Grammy. So that's my accomplishment of the day, and hopefully, we win it, man. But
all right.
Man, other than that, man, what's going on in the sports and music world? Yannick, what did it do?
So they said that they settled the Drake and Future situation, but they also said that, like, 3 or 4 hours before the actual show, they got into a little scuffle. And Drake was holding his own. He wasn't as soft and as light as everybody thinks.
Drake be like,
Drake be like, these are funny, dog.
Yo, it's funny because, you know, I rock with Drake, man. I think Drake, you know, I don't think he get a lot of credit for some of the things he's doing for the, not only the industry, but just for
culture.
For the culture, you know, yeah. just because he was on Degrassi, he's a Jewish mixed kid. You know, some people just have a hard time accepting it. And sometimes people have a hard time accepting that he's such a decent singer and such a dope lyricist. But one thing, they don't get it twisted, man. Drake been doing those Apollo Creed boxing workouts, man. And,
I know, man.
You know, he's not a little dude. So a little rapper, hey, man, you know, Drake can hold his own when it comes out. He might be able to squabble a little bit.
Yeah, man, he can. He can squabble for sure.
We don't promote fighting on sports music.
No, but we do promote hold your own.
Hold my own.
You got to hold your own.
Got to hold your own.
What's new with you? What's new with
me? Everything is great, man. You know what, man? You know, sport world is great. You know, I've been watching a little bit of football. You know, Michael Vick is out, but, you know, he'll be back soon, hamstring. You know, I pull for Mike Vick just because of his trials and tribulations he's been through in his life.
Right.
But it's good to see him be able to come back, you know, obviously, to help those Eagles, you know.
Yeah, but
it's not looking good.
I don't know, man. I think he knows. It's almost time.
Time for what? Chalk it up?
Only because he gets injuries all the time. I don't remember the last time I remember Michael Vick being healthy for the whole season was one season. And I'm a Falcon fan, so I remember the time that he was healthy for the whole season. If you're not healthy for the whole season and you're running in Chip Kelly's offense, and with that offense comes the quarterback getting hit, and Mike Vick is fragile.
It's amazing.
It's a done deal.
He's super fragile. I mean, moving on, you know, I understand that, you know, Miami is your team.
No.
You know,
oh, basketball?
Basketball.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
And basketball is right around the corner, considering, you know, we got Halloween coming around. Halloween coming around. We just had a good time over at, we just had a great time over at Halloween Horror Nights for my man's birthday. No. Shout out to Yannick, man. He just had a birthday to pass,
man. Had a birthday. We was, it was popping.
Man, we had a good time.
Yeah, it was popping.
Shout out to Universal Studios.
Shout out to Joey.
Shout out to Joey.
Showing us that front of the line love, man, because them lines was long.
Man, we can't get Joey fired on the show.
Oh.
Shout out Joey, man. Yeah, Joey. The 6'10 Joey, though. Not the other
guy.
Not
the other guy. Yeah.
We had a good time, man. It was happy birthday, my dog, man. I hope you had a blessed and prosperous weekend, such as, you know.
It was fun, man. It was fun. It's you know, every year, a lot of people don't know, every year on my birthday, I listen to the same song since I was 13. Every people don't know what it is, you know what I'm saying? But
what song, bro?
Life's a Bitch from Nas.
That's what it
Nas
is.
Nas featuring AZ because he says, I woke up on my born day, 20 is a blessing. And because of that, you know, I just, you know, that's one of those songs that just every single birthday. So that's a tradition I do. A lot of people don't know. And now Easy Way TV knows that. My girl probably gets annoyed on my birthday because it's all I listen to.
It's all good, man. Yo, this is Sports and Music with Mo Ager and Yannick. About to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back right after this commercial break. Sports and Music. Let's get it.
Wow. Yeah, Eric wants you to shout out the Facebook, too, the facebook.com/EasyWayTV.
Okay. You said facebook.com/EasyWayTV.
Hey, that sounds pretty good over here,
man. Oh, man, we've been here fooling.
Yeah, I see. I'm over here?
Yeah.
Good. Set them up, Mark. /EasyWayTV.
Yeah. Right there.
Oh, okay, cool.
Good. Good. Which one?
One of my MLS team.
Yeah.
For LeBron?
Oh, no. I'm a LeBron fan.
LeBron.
Yeah, I'm a LeBron fan. Yeah. So, when you in Cleveland.
So it's not Miami. It's LeBron.
No, definitely not Miami. I hate Miami.
Yeah,
I
like Miami.
That's random.
Yeah, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm a diehard Knicks fan.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Miami is stuff.
I was about to be so happy, though, when I thought when LeBron was going to make his decision, I thought he was going to go to the Knicks. I was
really.
I was like, oh, God.
Why didn't?
And how much time we got for more
Like a minute.
Like a minute.
Hey, we're about to go to the air. I'm gonna call you back. See you something about it. Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was gonna go to the Knicks.
I didn't.
He just. Oh, there was nothing out there. There's nothing there. But D Wade, this is boy and stuff. So.
Yeah.
Also, it's gonna be live.
Yeah, man. We Eric. I think something wrong with the internet, so it's not streaming live right now, but, you know, we're going to upload it later on.
Okay.
Oh, man, it's good. It's glorified Kool-Aid, bro.
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Real talk.
Yeah, but not.
Extra berries.
Blue Crunch was dope. Yeah, Blue Crunch was dope.
Not bad,
right?
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Yo, yo, yeah, we back once again, Sports and Music with Mo Ager and Yannick.
Yep.
We over here drinking this good old Pit Bull energy drink.
Pit Bull.
Pomegranate blueberry flavor.
Yo, awesome. That joint's good, man.
It's fire, good. Man.
It's fire.
Hey, man, shout out to Red Bull and all your other guys, but
Pit Bull really
I feel safe when I drink this, man.
It's good.
Feel me? I feel like I can drink like three of these and go hoop. And be all right.
And be in the mix.
Man, Red Bull, I be...
I'm red and everything.
Locking up. Dang, deep. Picking up full court. Yeah, man, we back again, man. Yo.
Y'all ain't clowning.
Man, we be in here having fun. So, my next guest is I met him through another friend, and it's an awesome thing just to be able to meet so many influential people out here in Los Angeles, California. You know, this man is very, very, very influential in the music industry. You know, he's kind of low-key, but I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself. It's my man, Troy Marshall. What up, baby?
Hey, what's up? How's everybody doing today, man? Thank you for having me out here today.
Absolutely.
I was really looking forward to this all week. So
man.
Let's get it in.
Let's get it in, man. Introduce yourself, brother.
Troy Marshall, for a lot of you people out there on the World Wide Web, I've been in the music business for over 25 years, worked at MCA Records where I worked with The Roots, Common, Mary J. Blige, Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, Shante Moore, Keith Washington, and then from there went to Geffen where I worked with The Game and worked with Talib Kweli, and then went over to Universal Motown, worked with Chamillionaire, worked with Lil Wayne, Birdman, that whole crew, India Irie, Nelly, and then from there went over to Warner Brothers where I worked with Lil Jon, Trillville, Crime Mob, Lil Scrappy, and then my last stint was over at Interscope where I worked with Lady Gaga, LMFAO, Far East Movement, 50 Cent, Eminem, Black Eyed Peas, Fergie, Timberland, Gary Hilson.
The list goes on.
Just on.
We got a big dog in the building, just in case y'all ain't know, man. This is Sports Music with Mo Ager, man. That's all we do is bring exclusiveness to the table, man. Over at Easy Way TV, Roscoe's Media Center, all that. But let's talk about, you know, some of your experiences in the music industry, man. What were some of your most monumental moments, you know, just from the beginning?
I have a couple. One, working with Mary J. Blige when she first started early in her career and just seeing her development and growth and how we really became real close friends, and, you know, just seeing her growing from being a young lady to now she's the queen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a great, great moment in my musical career. And then also Common and the Roots, because at that time when they were out, they were considered backpack rappers.
Right.
And we made You Got Me, which a lot of people don't know, Jill Scott wrote the hook of that record. Actually, she wrote the majority of that record. But Erykah Badu was the biggest artist at that time, so we put Erykah Badu on the record. And if you really listen to You Got Me and you hear the rapper on that record, that's Eve.
Whoa.
Now, they're all from Philadelphia.
Right.
And at that time, Eve had just signed the Rough Riders, so no one knew who she was yet, but they knew who she was in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
Because the Roots started doing this thing called the Cypher.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be like once a week, and just they would be the house band, and then different artists from Philly would just come in, sing, rap, do all those different things, and they just continue to nurture the music culture down there, and they just continue to grow. So out of that, Erykah Badu came out of that, Eve came out of that, Jill Scott came out of that. Talib Kweli did a lot of stuff down there with them with the Cypher, Common, Mos Def. So, you know, those were very monumental because at that time people thought we couldn't take them mainstream.
Right.
So not only did we have an opportunity to take the Roots mainstream, but they won a Grammy. Not only did we have an opportunity to take Common mainstream, you know, he was nominated for a Grammy. And congratulations to your nomination.
Appreciate it, brother.
Grammy as well.
Appreciate
so,
it.
So, you know, those are really big highlights. And then, you know, just taking artists from scratch. You know, when I first started working Soulja Boy at Interscope, everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. And the same thing with Lady Gaga. You know,
right.
DJ is like, man, don't send me that record. I must have serviced that record 4 or 5 times.
Wow.
But, you know, but as we continue to work, we have street marketing reps across the country. We have a whole crew of people at the label. You know, we just kept working and pushing and build and build and build. And then from there, the artist just grew.
Mm-hmm.
So those are, like, some of the greatest highlights. It's just when you take an artist nobody knows from Adam and develop them, get them out there, and then get the consumers to start becoming their fans and buying their music. So that's really enjoyable.
That's remarkable just because, you know, it's almost like you have to believe so much in the artist alone by itself, but on top of that, you need a budget because you just talked about a street team or, you know, serving the records and stuff like that. All those things come with a budget. How much does it take for you to actually have a budget but still have to believe in the artist alone?
Again, at Interscope at that time, Vincent Herbert was the gentleman. It was Vincent Herbert, and then Cherry Tree Records had signed her at the time, and Jimmy Iovine. We were probably the only ones in the building that actually believed in her.
Wow.
And, you know, but in talking to Lady Gaga, because she used to come to my office every day, she was just really passionate what she was trying to get accomplished as far as her artistry, as far as how she wanted to be perceived out there to the consumers. And, you know, I really bought into it, but she really worked very, very hard. We went on promo tour maybe 6 or 7 times, and she would perform 2 or 3 clubs a night.
Wow.
I mean, we would be out there really getting it in, as a lot of other my artists that would do that as well, you know, because it was about getting them in front of the people, letting the people see their artistry. Once they see their artistry, they either fall in love with them or they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And she really had an opportunity to really do that and grow. And we did the same thing with LMFAO, you know, when they had that record, I'm in Miami Trick.
Yeah.
Again, you know, a lot of DJs was like, man, what is this? You know, next thing you know, Party Rock was alive and well.
Right.
You know, and then we had this Asian group, Far East Movement. Like, who is these Asian
cats?
They did
good.
You know, and now they done sold over 4 or 5 million singles worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, when the A&R guy signs them, you know, and they bring them to us in the marketing promotions department, it's just trying to see. What I used to do is I would just sit down and meet with the artist. What's your vision?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you're trying to get accomplished. Tell me what you're trying to get the consumer to understand about you.
Right.
That's what I would do. So I would then take what they would tell me and then try to help them accomplish that goal,
mm-hmm.
you know, along with giving them some, you know, constructive criticism and some different things that can help them get to the level that they was trying to achieve.
Right. Exactly.
And I've also noticed a lot back in the days, they used to do a lot of artist development.
Yes.
That was pretty much like the main thing, doing artist development. And then they just stopped. And I've noticed when they stopped, the fear of talent kind of went down. But I feel like now they're kind of doing it again, but more independent labels are doing the artist, the development.
You're hitting it on the nose. A lot of the people, well, now you can build a studio at your house,
right.
Build it in your garage, I mean, you have access to so many more things, whereas back in the day, it was like, if you didn't have enough money to go to a studio and record a record, you couldn't do it.
Right.
Mm. Now, with the Apple computer, with GarageBand and Pro Tools and Logic, I mean, us four can make a record right now, 15 minutes, and actually get it out to people, and some people might like it.
Right on.
So now with the technology that's going on, there's a lot of people getting out there and getting it going on their own. So what the labels have done is say, well, hey, let me back up a little bit. Let me see what jumps out on the radio. Let me see what jumps out on iTunes. Let me see what they're doing touring-wise. Then let me have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
So actually, it's saving those labels, those investment dollars from an artist development standpoint, and they can put some of those dollars more into the established acts that's already on the label. Like, we're in the fourth quarter right now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So all the major labels is putting all the big guns out. You know, Drake just came out.
Mm-hmm.
You got Katy Perry. She's coming out. You know, Jay-Z's album just hit. He's on tour.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As you guys know, 75% of music sold starts from Black Friday all the way to Martin Luther King weekend.
Mm-hmm.
75% of music.
Dang.
It's sold during that time
frame. That's wild.
And it's incredible. And so that's why you see all the big guns that come out
fourth quarter
mm-hmm. because they get those numbers. So
mm-hmm.
like with Drake, he did 600,000, right? So let's say that cut that in half. He then did another 300,000 the following week, right? So now he's probably leveled off maybe about 40, 50,000 a week. Well, when Black Friday hit, he's probably going to jump back up to another 150,000 sold.
Right.
So by the time he gets into the new year, he's already sold 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 million
records.
Mm. You follow
wow.
what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And taking into the second and third and fourth single. And that's just domestically. We're not even talking about what goes on internationally worldwide.
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the questions I always ask, you know, and I've been doing music full-time, I want to say roughly 3 years, and I run across so many people who just have nothing but bad things to say about the industry. One of them, you can't make money from music. Two, the music industry is shady. Three, it's evil, all type of stuff. What do you have to dispute some of those people who actually have so many bad things to say about the music industry, the music we love so much? Like,
you know, listen, you know, I tell people, I sit down and talk with potential clients all the time. And the first thing I tell them is, yo, Google me. You Google me, you'll find out, you'll see what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can Google a person and you can't find out the type of information that they told you, if they said, well, hey, I worked at this label, I worked at that label,
right.
Google it. It'll come up.
Google, baby.
And if it doesn't come up, then, okay, you know what, that's not the person to deal with. Now,
absolutely.
Is there some shady people out there? There's definitely some shady people
yeah.
out there. You know, is there some parts of the record business that's shady? Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, you can go all the way back to the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that,
yeah.
I mean, it's been going on forever. But what you have to do is you got to look at your paperwork, make sure you have your good entertainment lawyer, and make sure you don't rush into anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also, I'm a vibe type of person. You know, like
right.
when me and you met, we developed a great vibe. You follow me? So
mm-hmm.
it's like, yo, if I'm not feeling your vibe, like, I'll have a conversation with you, but I'm going to keep you at a distance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You follow me? But if I'm feeling your vibe, then I'm going to investigate a little bit more about what you got going on, what you're trying to get accomplished, and show you the simple little things that you can get done without a lot of investment dollars. What a lot of people don't understand, what a lot of these artists don't understand is a major record label like an Interscope or a Motown or a Universal, they spend anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million per single.
Wow.
One single. Sheesh. Between marketing, promotion, new media, legal affairs, shooting a video, getting
right.
on 106 and Park, promo tours. You know, if you got a female artist, you got to get stylists, makeup, hair, all that adds up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that adds up.
Right.
So, you know, when you're an independent artist and you're trying to get on, you know, it's always about the music. I just really want to be clear to anyone that's listening out there, it's always about the music. If the music is good, it's going to penetrate through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if the music is not as good, it's not going to penetrate through.
Right.
And with the internet, it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
You know, the blessing is if you do have good music and you put it out there, then, hey, people are really going to gravitate to your stuff.
Right.
If it's not good, they're going to be like, oh, that person's whack. So
right.
If a person continues to put up whack music, you know, the worse and worse that person's career is going to be. So you really have to be careful when you're thinking about and what you're putting up on the internet.
Right.
From a visual standpoint, from a music standpoint, from a dialogue standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of different things that you really got to be careful of.
Yeah.
You know, because your branding and your imaging is everything.
Right. And you know what? And me being a new artist and Mo being a new artist as well, I've learned that. I've learned to have to be very patient and wait. It's really hard when you're an artist because you're like, man, just put it out. And I've learned to have to fall back, let the things work, calm down, and just let things work. Because if I rush into it, like you said, it's going to fail. It could fail easily.
Right.
I mean, the music is, you know, of course, you know, we all feel that our music is great, but it's like, just wait until everybody gets accustomed to what you're doing.
We gotta let it marinate. Exactly. I call it marinating.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta let your music marinate. And I also have a terminology that I use called multiple impressions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take Justin Timberlake, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, super artist, you know, movie star, the whole situation. But if you really looked at the launch of his project, he started it on MySpace. Now, of course, he invested in MySpace, so of course he's like, okay, boom, this is going to be my way to put MySpace back on the map, plus show them what I'm doing from start to finish as far as putting this project together, right? So you was able to follow him on MySpace for the duration of him making his record, even all the way up to him making the lyric video for that song with him and Jay-Z, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from that visual concept, yo, people were anticipating that record coming because they got little glimpses, little behind the scenes of different things that were going on. And while he was doing that, then he got the feature in GQ magazine. Then he had the feature in that other magazine. Then the video came out. Then he was on the Grammys when he got
right.
to do two songs.
Right.
Like normally artists only get to do
right.
one
right.
song all the time. You follow what I'm saying? So all those multiple impressions, when his album hit, of course he's going to sell a million units in the
exactly.
first week.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did all the preparation and he did all the anticipation possible to get people to really thirst for his music. Then when you bought the album, instead of having 15 records on there, he had like 10 or 11 records, but they were like 7-8 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Timberland went and experimented. You know, the song was going one way, and then all the way, then about the fifth or sixth minute to a song, then a whole other thing comes on. You'd be like, yo,
what's
really going on
right.
around here?
Yeah.
So, you know, again, that type of creativity gets people into it. So now he's at 3-4 million deep. And, yo, when Christmas time hits, when Black Friday hits,
it's going up.
He's going to shoot up again.
That's what it is, man, creativity. Yo, this Sports and Music, man, we need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
I don't even know why I did that.
You look good. Is that cool?
It's cool. That's crazy. You say he had 3 mil now?
Oh, yeah, he is.
It also helps when you don't come out for like 6 years. And you come back out.
He's so dope, though. Like, he don't come out for 6 years, but he stay relevant because he be on SNL.
We're not on SNL, but he's a movie star now, too.
Right.
Good.
He's not even factoring that in. He's a movie star now.